Yeah, they ain't gonna like it. They ain't gonna like it. I be getting to the money. Everybody mad. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody mad.
Same old nigga. Hello, everyone out there in XL tribesman land. I can't do it. I can't hear myself. I can't. Hello, everyone out there in XL Tribesman Land. So today, I have a special guest on the podcast. Guess who it is? Oh, we're eating, so don't mind all the clinking and stuff, whatever you hear. It's because we're eating. But I have a special guest, and I want to allow him to introduce himself to the XL Tribe.
What's going on, y'all?
Is that your name?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I am a visual storyteller and strategist. I am founder and chief creative officer of Marketlight Comics. And I'm happy to still be in Atlanta. So we actually get it. Because we were supposed to do this yesterday.
No. Supposed to do it 2 days ago. Three days ago.
Yeah. It was in the cars for me to be upset. In the cars for me to still be here.
No more rain.
Right.
So finally, guys, I got him to do the podcast. You know how long I've been trying to get him to do this podcast? Since the first vacation. That was 3 months ago. So we're in August. That was June. I've been trying to get this guy to come down, and randomly out the blue he's like, I'm still in town. I'm like, what?
Listen, the coins was right. So
I didn't realize it was the cash.
Yeah,
y'all,
yeah. See, you don't travel $5 in your pocket.
You know, listen, sometimes I've done it.
You know, you can. I just never been that type of person. That's all.
I get it. I understand. I'm about the experience. I'm always so. A lot of times I'll go somewhere. I don't have that much money, but I know I'm gonna have an experience of a lifetime.
Right. Make it stretch. Make it work somewhere.
Basically. So you know, either when I go there, I just eat a bunch of McDonald's or dollar menu stuff, or I try to sneak my way into the staff food. But I make it work.
Make it work, that's right.
So today, I think Ed's a phenomenal brand strategist. And so I really want the world to know how good you are. Don't do that. Don't do that. He trying to be shy, y'all. Like he ain't out to hear the shit. You don't want to toot your horn, I'll toot it for you. Toot, toot. So, what I want to talk about is basically how you got started in brand strategies. What led you to this profession? Why you still here? Because I know it's been a long time. And, you know, sometimes you start doing something and you realize it ain't for you, and then you stop doing it. So the fact that you've been doing it for this long means you find some joy in it, or the money's good, or both.
Right. Well, my gateway drug is graphic design.
There's always a gateway drug.
So that started, I just graduated from college, couldn't find a job, press. And then the secretary, my dad and my grandfather's nonprofit.
Oh, so you come from a business family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure do.
This ain't new to you, this true to you.
Right. So they came, or rather she came, asked me to update the buttons on the website. I was like, well, I don't know how to do that. But I wanted to do it because I wanted to feel like I was still valuable to society. I wanted to do something.
Not to society.
Right. I won't do that. but submit applications that weren't going anywhere with these companies. So came down there, did a website about this. And then once I did them, I realized that something was off with the logo. Something was off with just everything. I could have put like my
finger
mind
on
to it. Yeah, my finger onto it. What was missing? And I kept messing around. And then all of a sudden, I created a whole position for myself in a whole department for the entire organization, branding and marketing. So then that led to.
So that sounds like this is before it was popping to be a brand strategist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
It may have been. I actually may have been doing it back then. I just didn't know.
That's what happens. A lot of time, I try to tell people when they try to make these new words for things, I'm like, people have been doing this forever. There's just never been a term for it.
Right.
So what happens is once we find the term, it gets overused. Mm-hmm. But really, people have been doing these things forever.
So I started doing that and it caught me because another woman who was running an alternative school, she wanted me to come in and teach kids graphic design.
Oh, well, for my audience out there and me, because I don't know what that is, what's an alternative school?
Alternative school is a school to get a student, put it this way, if they're unmanageable in a regular school, they send them to a place where they can get some management, I guess you could say.
I kind of like prison. That's what it sounds like.
But these are the kids that just like, what was going on?
I need a hot sauce.
You didn't get this. These are the kids that are like disruptive as ass.
I get it. The people that just need a little extra attention, a little more one-on-one than the traditional 30-to-1 classroom.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, why don't they call it something else? Because they make it sound like it's jail.
American terminology is crazy. But did that, and it got on part-time, that transitioned to a full-time teaching position.
Oh.
Right.
Oh. Well, this is new, y'all, because I didn't know you was a teacher. Okay, come through with the educational background.
Unfortunately, I did not last long.
Kids, too bad.
But you know what? It was an amazing experience being able to work with those kids because first they don't trust you. They don't know what you're there for. Is it here for money? Is it here to help us to stand together?
The kids feel like that?
They want to know that you care because a lot of people don't care about it. Cause they, they're quote unquote bad.
Oh, so they've already been given up on, basically.
Right. Uh-huh. So they test you, they try you, they try to push your buttons and see if they can make.
How far to the limit do they push you?
With the teachers. Not with me.
They push y'all that far?
Yeah. They really want to see if you dare.
They want to see how far you're going to go.
Mm-hmm. So, I came in for graphic design, and I noticed that a lot of kids couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't do basic math.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, there's a whole lot of stuff we got to fix before we playing around with Photoshop and all this other stuff, right? So the majority of the year, and this is completely out of my, I didn't go to school for this, so the whole time I'm questioning like, oh, am I going to get in trouble for teaching these kids all this stuff that I'm not qualified for, ain't got no degree in, but we went over grammar, English, how to write a sentence, how to write a paragraph.
Oh, so you got other things, so you got other blessings too, technically. You have to look at everything as a blessing because in terms of that, I'm pretty sure you learned skills that you didn't have before you started that job. I bet you know how to handle bad kids now.
Mm-hmm. I do. But a lot of those kids, put it to you this way. Now, I did get about a year into that job, I got another offer. For another job, was, paying more, it would have been more stable for me. So I had left closer towards the end of the school year. Now, while I was there, kids was getting A's and B's.
So you were effective.
Yeah. When I left, they took a decline. So I think people always say, you know, what are the one thing, rather, what is something you regret? I think that's maybe one of the one things that I really regret.
Leaving that drum?
As early as I did. Because a lot of the kids started acting up again. And then when I asked, when I went to visit, one of the ones that I was really working with, I said, why did you go from getting A's and B's and really work, paying attention, to returning back to the way that you were? He said, because you left. You know, so that hit me.
We know I'm a crier, y'all. I cry.
So I took that and then got the other job, and that job turned into a remote job. That's why I went to DC and started my freelance business in graphic design. At the time, it was called Geeky Dreamer.
Geeky Dreamer.
Real amateur, real just, you know,
but
just
I like
starting.
It.
I know.
It has a ring to it.
It doesn't have a ring to it.
It tells you exactly what you're getting into.
It worked at the time.
It ain't
work
now.
No, it don't work anymore.
Well, you're the branding and designing expert, so if you say it don't work no more, it don't work no more.
And then DC got way too expensive. As it tends to
the lower you like to see.
Every major city turns to this.
Yes. Cause. So then I moved to North Carolina with my parents for a little bit. Then I moved to Greensboro and I got a job as one of the top digital content agencies in North America called Pace Communications. And I work with Walmart, Verizon Wireless, Trulia, AAA.
Trulia.
AAA, the hot side service.
Okay.
So basically, I went from doing website buttons to being able to, I've worked with Quad from Married to Medicine. A lot of my clients have gone on, one of my clients, she's in 13 Starbucks locations now. One of my other clients, he's worked on the set of The Housewives in Atlanta.
Why he popping, he ain't tell me, y'all. And then he tried to act coy. How dare you?
So the whole brand strategy thing. Brand strategy is taking goals and mapping action plans and action steps to those goals to actually get towards them. As far as the brand is concerned. So if you say one of your goals is to dominate the, I don't know, hair care industry, or rather the hair care market in Atlanta, we got to figure out how to actually do that, how to make people pay attention to you, how to make people rather just amplify your brand above every other brand. Because there's a lot of people doing hair here. You know?
Doing hair here is like water.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. So one of my specialty is storytelling.
I know, that's the part I love.
So storytelling is so important because that's what we as humans do naturally. Everybody's a storyteller, right?
You just got to figure out how to tell it the best.
Right, the best way. And that's what I do. I help you tell your greatest story possible and pay attention. Because there's a lot of people out here wanting attention and demanding for attention, trying to get attention, and don't know how to do it. And one of the best ways to do it is to understand your story. Because story is always going to be the ultimate strategy. Business strategy. Always. The greatest brands in the world tell the best stories. Nike, Apple, Google, Lego. Lego really went from just being Lego, you know, the little bricks that you stack up, to these global phenomena like these movies and partnering up with like these big franchises.
What do you think did it for them?
Storytelling. The movies. The movies is an entry point into the actual product. You know, they have like that Batman Lego movie. And then all the kids watch the Batman Lego movie, and then one after that, the Batman Lego products. It was story was the entry point into those products. The same with Apple when Steve put out a commercial a long time ago, talking about that, you know, Apple was pretty much for those who think differently, those who want to set the world on fire. Lining, you know, putting us next to people like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, himself, Einstein, like the innovators and the engineers who have crafted and formed the world. That's the whole Apple narrative. And to be part of that story, you have to get access to it through Apple's products. You know, MacBook, iPhone, iPad. We had this conversation yesterday.
That's why it's so expensive.
Right.
Because you're paying access to a secret society, yes, basically.
Right. So that's what storytelling is able to do. It's just able to make people really pay attention. It gives people a reason to talk about you, to share what you're doing, to just make your product or your service fun.
One thing I noticed, in the telling story, this year when I decided that I wanted to get a lot more serious about where I wanted to take my brand, be more intentional, I started paying attention to certain people. One of those people being Gary Vaynerchuk.
He's good.
I feel like no one tells stories better than Gary V. I just love. Oh, sorry, sir. Can I get another peach muffin? Thank you, sir.
They good.
Yes. No one tells stories like Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary Vaynerchuk makes you feel like when he's done talking, if he tell you go spend $1,000, you gonna not pay your rent this month and go spend $1,000, because you know, exactly, like whatever's coming out of his mouth, it's about to make you into a gazillionaire. And I was like, how do I get this good? So my first step was like, okay, I had to come out the shadows. Because for the first year and a half of my brand, I was in the shadows. Very few people knew.
Thank you.
Very few people knew. Oh, yes, yes. Very few. Look, everything here good, y'all. But very few people knew who I was. I wasn't, like, I don't know. I just wanted to hide. And I realized, not that I couldn't build a successful brand, but it would take me an extremely long time, lots of money, and know people that I don't currently know. So I was like, you know what? Let's figure out how to put a face to this brand. And so I remember writing the post called Meet the CEO, called Kirkland. That was the post I wrote to introduce myself. Thank you. To introduce myself to the world. And that post actually took me 13 hours to decide on pressing the publish button. Because I just didn't want to do it. Like, I was scared. I was like, what are people gonna think? Are people gonna judge me? Like, I don't know. Like, what if they be like, he's not that fashionable anyway? Like, all these things start flowing through your mind.
All that crap. The noise.
The noise of other people.
Right.
So,
dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous. It'll keep you from doing what you're supposed to do.
Listen.
Let me tell you something. I met up with a client earlier this week. And
he got clients in other states, and he talking about he ain't popping. But continue.
Her brand is all about understanding your power and giving yourself permission to be who you are. And one of the examples that she used is animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, monkeys don't need permission to be monkeys. They just be out here monkeying. You know?
Monkeying around. Okay.
Right. Whales don't need permission to be whales. They just be whaling. You know, they don't ask for permission to blow the water out the blowhole. They don't ask for permission to swim. They don't ask for permission that they can or cannot eat. They just do what they feel is natural. Even baby turtles. When baby turtles are born, the mother leaves She hatches her eggs, leaves them in the sand, and hopes for the best. She back out in the water. Them babies hatch. They newborn. They didn't know, but they know they're gonna go back to that water. That's instinct. That's just instinctual to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't need permission. They don't need to ask somebody, should I go to the water? Should I turn around, go the other way? Should I go, you know, stay on the land? No, they know they have to get to the water. They want to survive. They have to get out back to that water. So many people try to seek permission.
To be themselves.
Yes, to be themselves. And first and foremost, don't understand themselves or their power. Once you identify what your power is, and then give yourself permission to walk in that power.
That's a journey.
Yes, it is a journey.
That's a journey.
You're going to find yourself doing things you never thought
you could do.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Like, who thought I would be sitting here right now with Ed? See, y'all, putting myself out there. I was like, I don't know this man. Ooh, I was about to curse y'all. Man, I don't know this man. And, let me reach out to him. I like what he's saying on the gram. Let's get him to the staycation. I ain't know him. I just reached out. You never know where just being, well, allowing yourself to be free enough to just exist in the space, number one. But number two, like, the fears that you have, like, use them as guiding points. Because a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times I find when you decide to give in to, I'll say, good fear, you realize that everything you wanted was on the other side of the fear. And that's really what it is. It's so, I told myself that I'm not sitting in the shadows anymore. Like, this is my seventh business, and I've never won. And I want to win. I want to win. So I was like, fuck it. I'm a go out, and I'm going to try to build as many connections as I possibly can with as many people along the journey that I feel are saying good shit and have great ideas about the world and how we should be progressing in the different spaces that I exist in. And Ed just happened to be one of the people that kind of checked all those boxes for me. So I'm like, you know what? Let's see what this person's about.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, back to your post.
Oh, so that post was me basically coming out the shadows. It was me introducing myself as the person behind this brand, what I'm about. I told a little bio of myself, what you should expect. And in that email, I actually dropped I actually put my email. So if people have questions or whatever, you can contact me. I will gladly answer them. So that was really me doing kind of what I've always been afraid to do, which is attach myself to something that I've built. Because I've built a lot of businesses, but I never attach myself to them, which is why I never win. Because, like, I don't have that many friends on Facebook. Don't start requesting me, because I will deny that bitch. But I don't have that many friends on Facebook. Wow, my best friend has, like, I think she has the maximum 5,000 friends. But every time she posts something, like, hundreds of people like it. And I'm like, or she'll post something, like, when she had she has a new online store, but when she had her old line store, she'll post something, people like, oh, that dress is cute. 3 seconds later, you get an email, oops, she just bought the dress. I'm like, but I'm over here trying to sell $5 cell phone cases, and I can't do that. Y'all, let me tell you how pathetic I was because I wasn't willing to step out there and be myself. I still have iPhone 3GS cases.
Jesus. Good Lord, how long ago was that? I don't know. How long ago was
that? I have iPhone 4 cases.
That was some years ago. We up on the
10.
10?
Yeah. Yep. That's how afraid I was to promote myself, because I was like, I was definitely afraid of judgment.
Mm-hmm. So what happened when you at Ruffles after 13 hours.
Fuck y'all hoes, what y'all gonna do to me? Try something, basically. That was how I felt after I posted. And every day after that, it's just been a work in progress to continue to like become comfortable with myself in terms of putting myself out there for scrutiny. I think I've been comfortable with myself and my skin for many years, but getting to another layer of comfortability where I can put myself out in the public, because you know, anything you put out to the public, it's a chance for you to be judged.
Absolutely.
And so that's been the struggle. It's being judged.
I know, because of the way our society is right now, with the administration that we have sitting in the office, it's hard to trust people. It's hard to see authenticity. You don't know what's fake and what's real. And I think now people have to buy people in order to trust the brand or to trust the product or the service. People are more prone, and this is just in general. People are not going to buy from you unless they trust you. I mean, that's just how that goes. You know, people ain't giving up entire mortgage checks to Apple for a phone.
I done gave up my brain a few times,
right, see?
But because I know that I want the new,
right.
And the new costs $1,000.
Right, exactly.
I'm gonna get the new.
Anything else?
Take this. That was good.
You got it? Good, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people buy people.
And when I learned that,
yeah,
that's when shit changed.
Yeah. And their entry point into buying you is your story. It's always going to be your story.
Which is where you come in.
Right. Because your story makes you humanize it. It makes you relatable. It makes you a potential mirror for this person to see themselves in you and say, okay, I can do this too. Or I really like this person.
That was really what it was that helped me step out too. It was knowing that in order, if I'm, because I ask a lot of you guys out there, I know I do, being open, being vulnerable, being honest, stepping out of the shadows of what is deemed to be traditionally masculine, is I'm asking a lot of you guys. Some of these things I'm asking go far beyond you. It goes all the way into other families. So I know for a fact that what I'm asking you guys is a lot. So how can I ask you guys to step out the shadows, but I'm still in the shadows?
That is not work.
Nope. Definitely. And plus, I'm a firm believer, like, the darkness is what gives you a leg up over people. It's the fact that people have things that they want to keep private. That's, for example, if you think about Jay-Z and Beyonce, the reason why everyone's always in their business because they lock their life down. So that's why everybody wants to know everything about them, because they make it so private. And anything, I guess it's a human thing, but anything we deem, I don't know, anything that people tell us we can't have, we want to have more. Mm-hmm. So,
it's psychological.
Yeah, something probably something, yeah. Very psychological. So, that's the reason that I put myself out there like that on a regular basis. But it's still hard. I'm not going to say I don't struggle. I struggle all the time. Like, when I got offered an underwear brand partnership, I was like, so you want me to be walking my hair draws? What the people gonna say? Mm-mm. Let me tell y'all, I got that partnership in January of 2017. I didn't shoot the ad until May, cause I just couldn't do it. No, I'm sorry, I shot in April. She gave me the pictures back the same week. And I think I didn't put it out until the following month. Because I just couldn't do it. Yeah, it was just... I mean, granted, I had already printed my picture out, put it on my wall because I look good. But, like, to put it out to everybody, it was hard.
Yeah,
it's scary. Yeah. So that's kind of why I feel like I push myself so that I can then ask you permission to push yourself beyond boundaries that you normally don't do. And so one of the things that I noticed in your brand that you actually do a great job of telling your story.
Really, because I think I don't tell it enough.
Well, I think I could always be more nosy, but I think you do a good job at putting yourself out there. But in coy ways, I'm keen to a lot of different Instagram accounts. So, like, I pay attention. So I catch little hints and stuff that you, because you put most of your personal life goes in your story. Because what's on your page is very business. So if I never watched your stories, I would know nothing about you.
You know why I do that?
Does it go away 24 hours and you don't want people up in your business like that? Oh, okay, tell me why.
Because right now I feel like Instagram stories are more engaging than the actual feed. Because the actual feed. I feel like people are more. When IG stories first came out, yeah, of course, we weren't as engaged because it was new.
Y'all wasn't because y'all was over there on Snapchat, but I was from the very beginning.
I just think, well, and also, I think they hold more attention because of the 24-hour thing. You know it's not going to be there, so I have to watch it while it's here. Whereas the feed, it's always going to be there, so I don't need to read this right now. I don't need to look at this right now. I just go to this person's profile.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that was the value of Snapchat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It held engagement a lot longer. If you knew this person was saying stuff of value or sharing stuff of value, you had 24 hours before they got deleted. You was on live on Snapchat and pay attention to it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take it from the branding expert because I don't know nothing about that. Listen, I see stuff come across. I be like, okay, man.
Now I haven't
tap my screen to the right.
More of my story into my news feed, but I just noticed people pay attention more in IG stories.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to do now is this is gonna be your moment to put yourself out there.
Cool.
So what I want to know is what are some of the things you share on IG stories that you want to share more of, and then what are some of the things you feel like are maybe too personal that you've shared. I mean, I don't think there's anything too personal, but maybe from your own perspective, maybe too personal for your comfort level, I should say.
I guess we can start with this. I've been technically, or quote-unquote, whatever you want to call it, homeless since May 2017.
Okay, see, I never really looked at that as homeless, but I guess.
Because you don't necessarily have to be living out on the streets.
Okay, I'll take that. Because I'm like, I be seeing walls and stuff, and it be quiet. You be recording videos for your courses. So I'm like,
right. I'm at the mercy of people with good nature.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'll accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I'm like, nothing looks homeless about this over here.
Yes. I have fortunately been blessed enough to be in the company of people who don't mind me staying for months, you know, while I'm getting myself together. The person I'm staying with now, my parents, I've been to a couple other places, you know, just kind of, that's why everybody's like, you move around so much, it's like, what?
So you're trying not to overstay your welcome, is that what that is?
Yes, I don't like to feel like I'm
a burden.
Like you say, overstaying my welcome. I just, there comes a certain point to where you can't, I don't feel like you shouldn't get too comfortable with a situation like that, you know. But yeah, so that, I think, I've been really open about that. Because everybody's like, well, where are you? I'm like, well, North Carolina this month, maybe Atlanta this month, and Pennsylvania like the next month, and you know, all over the place. And it's cool. You know, that's just where I'm at right now. I think during this period, it has been incredibly transformative to me. I've never been this in tune with myself, and I've never been this in tune with God, which is amazing.
That's good.
That's really good.
Okay.
Right.
We'll talk about your finding Jesus. Go ahead.
I think I've been really open about entrepreneurship, like what that actually is, because you see, I mean, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur without knowing what an entrepreneur actually, what it actually demands,
you know,
of you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
Your feed reminds me of something, and I'm going to tell you what it reminds me of.
Okay.
It reminds me of a real, I don't want to say real, because I'm not going to take away the authenticity of another person's show, but
Real Housewives?
No, I was going to say the startup podcast. I was going to compare your feed to them, because I feel like your feed is like what most people, most black and brown people who don't have access to capital, the scrappy ways they have to figure out how to build a business is what your feed is like. So it's the more stripped down, way more stripped down, way no money. You don't have access to the email to go email Chris Saka and get an interview on the middle of the street with a guy that you are, that's in your quote unquote circle of people to call. So like watching you like record your courses on iMovie, being very open about like, hey, this is what I got and I'm gonna use it to the best of my ability until I can do better. Like things like that is like what really draws me to your feed. How you were talking about one day you went home and you was talking about where you grew up and your experiences going to middle school and high school and your childhood home is still there, first of all, and how all of y'all used to play there. Like all those things are like the things of telling the story that you always talk about that you do, and I don't know if you do that. I don't know if you know you're doing that.
I don't know.
First of all, I didn't even know that you know that I was paying that much attention, because I noticed things. And I like, these are the stories like I want to get better at telling, in order at the end of the picture to say, hi guys, I have been listening, I've been paying attention, here's time for me to present a finished product of everything I feel that you need. And I feel like that's how, what I need to do better at, but you do it so well. So I want to talk about like, how do you do it?
You know what? I got it from Gary Vaynerchuk. Document versus creating. The most interesting part of this journey, entrepreneur, is the process.
It is.
I care more about how Oprah became Oprah than what Oprah is. I want that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or MJ, or Whitney. Or, you know, I mean, that's why we do these, just had a Whitney movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want the stuff before she became Whitney Houston.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? People enjoy the process. So I think I've just gotten comfortable documenting my journey and my process, just being in the moment. Like, oh, this may be good to just flip out the camera and hit record. I've done it multiple times, just like with me. Like, if you and I were just, you know, if we were doing the podcast right now, sometimes I just feel the mood to be like, hey, we should be recording this, and we'll have to either set up the camera and let it go. And while we're talking, within that half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever the case is, we may say some really good stuff, and you can share it. Because it's raw, it's organic. Also, people are, like I said earlier, searching for authenticity. Everything is so polished and filtered these days that we are getting more and more hungry for the raw.
That's why Cardi B won, or is winning.
And Tiffany Haddish.
Yes, Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah. That's why they're winning, because they're raw and they're unfiltered and they just are who they are. Zero F's given, you know?
Zero bucks given. Because I mean, I think that's the only way they know how to be.
Right.
I don't know, because see, that is a process for me. I feel like, I mean, I don't know. As I get older, there's one thing that I do feel more than normal, is that it's the pressure to be not perfect. I'm not going to say perfect, but the pressure to be, to get it right the first time around. See, it's hard because, for example, I'll tell you, like, this big and tall, plus male, brawny men industry, whatever you want to call it out there, is new. So, in a sense, we are, I don't know, I can't think of anyone that actually pioneered something, because I only know the fake people that claim they pioneered something. Oh, you know what? Let's use Steve Jobs. We're big and tall men is pioneering a new way, like Steve Jobs pioneered a new way to compute. We're pioneering a new way for men to look and feel at over, you know, a size 38, over a size 2XL. Like, we're pioneering that way for men to look. And with that, people are looking to you at a different level of than they are looking at other people. So, for example, it's like, if, I don't know, if this little water glass company fails, no one knows who it is. But if Steve Jobs failed, then it feels like we all failed. And that's kind of the pressure that I feel sometimes when I'm doing things, when I'm thinking about new products, new services, how to, like, innovate in that space. I'm sometimes, like, I don't talk myself out of any ideas. I have an idea book. I write it down. Sometimes, naturally, it'll come back to me. Sometimes, I'll be reading over my notes, and then it'll come back to me. So, I never talk myself out of ideas, but I do always talk myself out of when to launch ideas. Because I do feel like I only have a few shots to get it right.
So, here's what we're going to do. This is what you do. You build failure into the strategy. Especially if you're early stages.
Say that what?
Build failure into the strategy. And you also have to change your mindset on what failure actually is. Failure doesn't necessarily mean that you took an L.
I'm willing to fail. At least I've understood that much, that failure is a part of the process. I'm willing to fail, but I'm not willing to fail miserably.
And that's the thing. That's when you fail at the startup level, when you just start now, that is the best arena to fail, but nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, you have your least amount of, I that part, okay, so I understand that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll okay.
Because I'll tell you this, with ArcLight, my transmedia company, we are a platform for underrepresented, marginalized voices and stories for people of color, women of color, LGBTQIA+, and disabled persons. What we do is we are a transmedia company developing a superhero intellectual property that takes the voices and stories of underrepresented people and pretty much doing what you see Marvel and DC have done mm-hmm. over the years, but it's grassroots. Mm-hmm. It's built on authenticity. It's built on representation and diversity. So my team is incredibly multicultural with many intersectionalities.
I love queer, intersectionality.
Black, white, I mean, it's incredible. And the response that we've got over the years has been transformative. I mean, we make people cry with our content. We literally had people crying, people just be moved and inspired and transformed by the work that we're doing. But I always tell people the story, because I remember when we had like 20 followers, and I used to be pissed off, like, oh, we're doing all this great work, we should have more followers. The difference between now and then is now we're almost up to 3,000 followers, and we can't take as many risks and make as many mistakes as we used to. We got to be a lot more cautious in that regard. And it's restrictive. It's a bit Cajun. You know, I get antsy and I really want to try something out, but we can't test the waters as we usually could.
So how do you test the waters? Because, okay, so, like, for example, I've been paying attention to Elon Musk. Whenever he wants to take chances, he just started a new company.
Did you fellas need anything?
Oh, that's another refill. That's all. That's good. So, yeah, like, when he wants to take chances, he started a new company. Like, that rocket company he started just because he had new ideas and he knew Tesla wasn't going to go for it. So he just started a new company.
Well, Elon is white. Cisgender. With a lot of capital.
Thank you. I get it. I know I'm not white, cisgendered male. I get it. But... okay, all right. So then, what do you think your outlets would be to try new things that you want to try? How do you do them then?
An MVP. It is a minimum viable product. So instead of delivering the car as a complete car.
You deliver the half car?
Motorized scooter, and you test it.
Okay.
It's still something that's of value to your audience and your customers. It's still usable. It's something that you get feedback on. And then as you get feedback on it, you iterate on it until you get to the car. You don't put all your resources. See, we have to do things a little differently. We don't have
This is why I like your Insta stories. Because they be very scrappy.
We don't have capital. We don't have money, resources, we don't have investors on that. So you don't go all in. Like if you have an idea to make a smart home, cool. You don't need to do everything right now.
You're right, I get it. You can start with a light bulb.
Start with something that is just, that's a workable model that's still valuable for the consumer, but you can iterate on it as you get feedback.
What you sound like right now, it sounds like Kickstarter.
You can use Kickstarter.
No, I know, that's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a way to it's still taking risks, but it's more manageable risks.
Mm-hmm. So if it fails, you can cut the project and there will be no large loss.
Right. Like take risks, but don't invest. I don't want to like limit you. Take calculated risks, right? I'm such an ambitious person, so I hate not like equipping people with the same type of ambitious energy that I got. But
because that's me,
right?
I'm like,
hey, and I think you know, people out there starting their businesses or starting their brands and stuff like that, you don't have to go so full blown. Like again, MVP it and MVB it. Now, MVB is a minimum viable brand. That's a whole other thing. That is constructive.
Gems.
What?
Gems. Tell the people what they missing.
An MVP.
They don't want us to win. I feel like Cali right now. They want us to be uninformed. But we gonna win. Yeah, Cali.
The MVB, minimum viable brand, is basically at its core. You're answering the question, why should anybody pay attention to what we're doing? It's giving the market a reason to care about you, what you're doing. And people don't understand, oftentimes, that branding, strategy, and story, those are like your North Star, and they will help you figure out products, services, the market, how to do things differently, how to just bring things together. And without understanding that reason to care and understanding the story of what you're doing, as the story creates the buy-in, the story creates the support, the story is what's going to be the most interesting thing about. I mean, Steve Jobs, what is the most interesting thing about him starting Apple?
That he built the Apple One?
was gonna say started out in his garage. That's like
Okay.
You know, everybody know that. That's like inspirational to a lot of people because the man started this huge company
in a garage.
In a garage
with barely any money. And you just saw the original prototype. It's ugly.
Right.
Yep. No computer. No. No pretty shell. Nothing. Yeah.
And then Jeff.
Jeff Bezos, yes. Everyone sees that Amazon where he spray painted it because
right
he knew he was going to be big.
Right, exactly. So those are stories that we buy into and we get inspired and motivated by. And we remember the people that we want to keep in the forefront. You know, as entrepreneurs, we just need inspiration and motivation from some of these really big companies. So you see these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I do what I do is... Maybe one day, I'm not going to spray paint.
Maybe. 20 years, we'll be having this conversation on an island that you bought with people handing me grapes and asking me, is the royal penis clean, your highness? Yeah.
I think just the one thing about my brain is I really just want to...
Here he is.
I don't know no man. I do nothing. Not me.
Right.
Listen, that girl brought somebody over here to Black Folk. Girl, I don't do nothing. I don't know nothing. No, not me. I don't know her.
I think one of just the main points about my brand is just I want it to be very real and very accessible. That, you know, here's this guy hopping from state to state.
And you know what? This is going to be all part of your hero story.
Right.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see you on what that show called? What it, the NBC show.
Shark Tank.
No.
Not
Shark Tank. That show where Barbara Walters, what is it called? Does she even do that show anymore?
I don't think she does that show anymore.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever it's called. Somebody on the show.
Where they gonna be interviewing you? Because you popping. You made it. And then we can call you the real what's the word they use on the Forbes magazine cover? Self-made. We can call you self-made billionaire.
But I just want people to know that this is achievable. You don't have to have a lot to get started.
Nope.
It's going to be hard. You know, I mean, I have...
Days?
I have a lot of accolades. I won't say accolades, but maybe...
Bands. You got a lot of slashes.
Yes.
That, you yeah, do.
Yeah.
You just named a few of them early.
Right. But just because I have those things doesn't mean I have it all together. I think that's part of my overarching like brand narrative. Like, I mean, even with Arclight, we're coming up on 7 years. This is like a 9-man team, and we built this thing with nickels and pennies. You know what I'm saying? People think we
not
have
nickels
like,
and pennies.
People think we have.
But now they have dimes and quarters, y'all.
Right? They are.
They have grown. Cause that. First of all, them graphics are the business. Who's doing the graphics?
The team.
Y'all should see those characters. They look like they had a 9-figure budget. Those graphics are good. Them superheroes look real.
I appreciate that.
I like them.
I appreciate, but that goes to my point. Do what you can, what you have, wherever you're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just iterate on it.
You don't need to wait until you. That is something I preach all the time because people always be like, and now actually that's kind of I preach it, but that was kind of what how the story of XL Tribe came about because really I was taking mad long to do the site, and when I wanted to get started, I needed $60 to buy a theme that I wanted to customize, and I just didn't have the $60. Now, granted, I had $60, but I was fucking around with the $60 because I really didn't want to spend it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this hold me back no more. And I hit the publish button on the website. And I was like, whatever it looks like. In iteration, I'll make it better. And 3 different designs later, I'm finally at the design now that I like, that I feel like I can show off. You can like, go to my website, go look at that, because I did it, xltribe.com. But, I didn't allow myself to be like, oh, it's not ready yet. Like, I felt like I was doing that way too long, and just thinking, like, sometimes I think back, like those 5 months after I had already did all the research, figured out what the brand was going to be, the name, the logo. I hand sketched my logo. I mean, I didn't like do it because I'm not good on the graphic shit, but I did hand sketch it.
When it comes to being a strategist, I often have to tell people, no one really gives a damn about your logo. No one's giving you money. No one's walking through your store or entertaining you because of a logo. They're going to entertain you because of who you are as a person, and because you gave them a reason to care. They're invested in you. They bought into what you're doing. That's what the focus has to be. You have to give people a reason to care. It's never going to be the colors, the logo, the name. Not that to start. When you just start now, you have to, again, the MVP thing, build up on this product and this service, and also give people a reason to pay attention. Then when you get those investments, when you start building up an audience, then you can start making a transition into a logo, colors. I mean, you can have something to start with, but don't
put so much emphasis on it. I agree.
All this stuff that nobody's going to care. You're not even up and running, but you're going to spend $500,000, $2,000 on a logo and some colors. And this is how much I've grown, because that's what I used to do. I used to do. I still do it, but I would take those clients on, and we would spend. You know, I mean, just to start with, back in the day, it was $2,500. Now it's a little bit more than $2,500.
Oh my! I have invisible pearls. My God, what?
Yeah, $2,500, and it's going up to $4,500. I'm in the 5-figure range now.
What do you want pint of blood? I can't afford that. I'll give you my second born. Can't have the first one. I need to have the second one though. That's a lot. Okay.
Right. But it's for my service, is not for a particular type of client. You know. I mean, there are times where I do have some other things I can work with you and stuff. And 9 times out of 10, I don't do the graphic side anymore, because that's not what everybody needs. You need strategy. You need to talk to somebody and say, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I have. How do I do it? It's my job to come and say, okay, this is what the industry looks like. This is what the market looks like. This is everybody within it. You have to stand out some way, somehow, from these people who have already been doing it. So let's put together a reason for people to care. Let's get your story together. Let's figure out a strategy on how you win it. Like, I'm all about domination and differentiation. That's pretty much what branding is. Branding is differentiation.
Very much from you, from someone else, and why they should go with you versus that other person.
Exactly. Do you know how foolish it would be if a new mobile carrier came out with the color red, blue, or pink?
Or yellow.
Foolish, or yellow.
Don't be leaving Sprint out. They're my carrier, and they give me cheap deals.
Right. I got this from my colleague the other day, Dana, James Malonga. She had this amazing brand and web strategist herself.
Go ahead, hit the plug.
Right. Oh, listen. You would never, ever, ever. If I get something from you, and I know I got it from you, I'm always going to mention you. Because I hate when people don't do that for me. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's just tacky. Give props where props are due.
Props are due. Right. I got you.
You don't always have to be the
smartest. Well, I figured out how to tell my story from Ed.
When we had this conversation yesterday. So how silly, if you were going to be a mobile carrier, you talk to me, well, I'm gonna do this in paint. Are you kidding me?
Why?
The way T-Mobile was dominating right now, you want to do it in paint.
You really? I think they've got magenta on lock.
Right. So it's.
I love what Fergie says. And your seat is secure by the pink T-Mobile magenta ring. I love when she says that. I'm like, okay. All of the color. So you know.
No. So with all my different clients, it has been my responsibility to say, hey, okay. Let's look at where you're at now. Let's look at where you want to be a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at what you want to be 5 years from now.
Okay.
10 years from now.
Okay.
And let's build for that 10 years.
Okay.
And not her train of thought, but anyway. So that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to keep you away from making really stupid
mistakes.
Right, early on.
Which are important.
Go get you something from, and I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Don't say that. Huh. Not the F word.
I'm going to say upward.
Same thing.
You can find some decent designers on upward. Well, what I'm saying,
I'm gonna come in for the free later and tell you where to get it from. Fuck that. I mean, let me. Actually, you know what? We're gonna be all the way transparent. My current logo was designed by someone on Fiverr, but no, it wasn't. That's it is actually no. That's the truth. My current logo was designed by someone on Fiverr. But he was a designer that I found on Logo 3 businesses ago. Now he's not on Fiverr because he's tired of doing cheap work. So the one thing I don't like about Fiverr is they keep their designer information really tight. So I had to save a picture that he uploaded to his profile because his profile wasn't there anymore. Then I had to reverse search it on Google. Yes, because I wanted to find him. He was good. And once I found Alejandro, I've been using him ever since. So he's designed my last 4 business, my entire branding. So actually the last time I worked with Alejandro was on my other podcast that I do with my best friend called The Secret Is Work. Now, what I did learn from all my other businesses was keeping a consistent look across everything. And so I had him build an entire media package, which I never had before. Because usually I'll do it scrappy and then, you know, I'll try to figure it out along the way. But this business, I was like, no, we're not doing that. So I had him design a logo. I had him design a Twitter header, the logo just to fit in Twitter, the thing, same thing for Facebook, same thing for Pinterest, all the different sites. We even had him design like the header for the website, the sides of the website, like the sidebar. We had him design also the podcast cover. We also had him design the template for the podcast. So every time we had a guest, we would just pop their face in. So to be streamlined. That was the best branding decision I ever did, but I didn't do it for my new business, so whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man. Thank you. But, yeah, I mean, you know, this is just the visual storytelling. Is this actually what you're saying? Leads into visual storytelling. Once you actually figure out your story and the branding and the strategy, like once you get all these, what it is information influences design. That's why when people go out here and they hire designers and they say, do whatever you want, you're the creative, the designer sends things back, and you take issue with it, they'll do it over again, do it over again, do it over again. It's because...
That is why I don't design logos for people.
If you don't have an idea of what this logo is supposed to represent, what the brand is supposed to be...
Then I'm going to put my vision of what I think is supposed to be, exactly. Which is never going to match up to what your vision exactly. is. So you're going to ask me to keep redoing. And guess what I ain't doing? All of that. This ain't Fiverr. And we not doing that. You get one edit around that B.
So it never stinks up. So everybody, that's a nugget. Like, you have to understand...
Well, you know what? Now you said that. The reason they do that is because they don't have an idea how to tell their story. That's why they don't know what they should. So you know what?
Or the reason to care.
So if someone comes to me and asks me to do a logo and they tell me, oh, do whatever you want, you're the creative, I'm gonna be like, there's someone you need to see before you come to me. His name is Ed Williams. Go ahead, you know, spend that, you know, money on that 45-minute brand strategist call and figure out what you need to do with life, because you ain't ready for me. That's the truth.
It is the truth. And we actually just experienced this with my client that I met up with on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We did all this brand and strategy and things. And now she did her rebrand, or rather, she got her brand identity together prior to our
meeting
coaching
you.
And meeting up and things like that. Now, after discovering what we discovered in our session, she's like, okay, all this is no longer working. None of this tells the story that we just uncovered in there. So she's taking what we uncovered, the branding, the story, and the strategy, and now she's able to take that to a designer and say, this is what we have to do.
Yep.
So information always inspires and influences. You will get the strongest design ever as long as you have the right information to give your designer. So you all the same with content, anything else that has to do with your brand. So once you get all that information on paper, that's where the visual storytelling comes in. But that's what we call either brand identity or visual identity.
Mm-hmm.
It was exactly what you were talking about. All those different touch points, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, sidebars, all those are storytelling touch points, right? So it's the consistency within the brand.
I do know that's very important to have brand consistency. Yeah. And I try to tell people that. When you come up with a, you know what, I'm going to give y'all a little nugget. I don't know if this is part of your course or not, but there's a little nugget that I learned. when you coming up with a business name, check Instagram, check Facebook, check Twitter, check Pinterest, check Tumblr. See if that name is available. One thing that I feel does not do well is when you have 5 different social media with 5 different names. It just doesn't do well.
It confuses people.
Yep, brand confusion. And the quickest way to lose a customer is to confuse them. Because they can go left real fast. Because you ain't the only Sally, Tom, or Harry that's doing what you're doing. So they will quickly swipe left to the next Instagram page doing exactly what you're doing. Yep, I learned that.
And that's a nugget, that's a gem. And the quickest way to figure out all this stuff is to start with your audience. Absolutely nothing will ever make sense. I know I said information, but audience is the most important information to have when you start this out. Because if you don't know who this product or the service or this brand is for, you don't know who you want to help, who you want to serve, how will this product, service, or brand ever be a reflection of that? You just can't say, oh, everybody needs this book, or everybody needs these clothes. No, that's not the case. Everybody got different tastes.
Everybody don't need this book.
Different values, different needs, and wants, and different desires. We can call ourselves big and tall, man, but there are different communities
within
the big and tall spectrum.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
So what community do you want your brand to be a part of? You know? So you have to go into it understanding, okay, I'm talking to these people specifically. Maybe I'm talking to black men. Maybe I'm talking to black men 6'3 and above, 250 and above.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm talking to black men who are queer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are different nuances here, so you have to understand. Yeah,
there's different intersectionality. Exactly. This is my favorite word. I love that word.
She's cute. But, you gotta find your people.
Yep,
much.
Find your tribe. That's why my name is called Axel Tribe.
Right, I know who I'm talking about. I don't talk to the people who are just starting a business. Like, you have an idea. I'm not the person that you come to.
So you're like 103, 104, basically, in the spectrum. You're not 101.
No.
Got you. Have you elevated past 101, or 101's never been your clientele?
I've worked with 101 before.
It's just not for you.
No, well, I find that a lot of 101...
Mm-hmm.
they get inspired by an idea and may not be able to fully execute that idea, or the adrenaline wears off about that idea. So if you've come in and you spent this money with me.
Wait.
Bless you.
Sorry.
You're fine. Thank you. You come in and spend this money with me, and I give you these tools. So you made this investment, I made an investment in you, and the adrenaline wore off, and now you're doing it. Now, you may not feel bad, but I do.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't necessarily feel bad. What I do feel in those instances is that I'm not doing what I was meaningful. I'm not doing meaningful work.
Exactly.
Because, I get it. Okay. All right. I understand. So, you have the both parts. I only got one part. Because I feel like if you just spend, like, perfect example, like, I feel like, not in this business, but in my old business, I would have people spend $700 on a website. I finish the website. I'm calling them like, hey, your website's ready to launch. Nothing. Ghost. Some of these customers, it's been 5 years. I ain't never heard from them. They site still online. They ain't never seen it.
That idea hit.
How do you pay me $700 to build your website and you don't even see what the end result is? I'm thinking to myself, no, this has to be cray cray. And so I know exactly what that feels like. And in the end, I'm like, you just wasted your money, but thanks for paying my rent. Because if that's what you want to do out here in these streets, you do that. But then it also does make me feel like I'm not doing anything worthwhile, because I feel like the purpose of what I'm doing is not for me. Like, in 10 years, when I look back on all the websites I build, I want to be able to say that I helped other black men that look exactly like me become 6, 7, 8 figure earners in their, like, I helped these people. Yes. Not only that, but I want to see the people that I invested in and go invest in new people that are coming up to build their brands up, so that I can keep, you know, leaving behind something that is going to be way bigger than even when I pass. This will continue. Yeah, so that's the part, only part that I don't like, that it makes me feel like I'm not continuing on the legacy of what I want to leave behind when I leave this earth.
Yeah.
So that part is where I feel bad.
Yeah.
But thanks for the money, though.
Right. I mean, it feels amazing to have clients say, you know, when I walk into a room, I feel like I own it because all my stuff is going. You helped me find my story and my voice. Or with the one lady, she got caught up in the Ferguson riots when they happened, and they tore up her shop.
Oh, wow.
That was actually a pro bono thing. And everybody was, they had raised $250,000 for that woman.
To rebuild her.
Yeah, to rebuild her thing. And I looked at her stuff. She had a logo. She had no identity. And the entire spotlight was on her during this time. I developed that thing for her in 8 hours. Record-breaking for myself. She called me.
Oh, snap.
Right. She said, you know, I got dozens of people sending me stuff. She said, I don't know how you did it, but you got it. You got me. You understood me, and we never talked to one another. This is me. And that logo is everywhere. And that logo, just having that identity and having that voice and now having that power. She's gone up in 13 Starbucks locations now, you know? So being able to equip clients like that with the tools that they need to get to where they're trying to get to makes me feel
what?
Really
what does that feel like? Imagine walking into a Starbucks and you see my shit on the backboard. What does that feel like?
It feels amazing. It's validated, you know? I think the biggest one is Quad's logo from Married to Medicine.
I'm pulling out my phone for those of you that can't see me.
She had it. Now, she's on TV One's Sister Cell Phone.
Yes.
So that logo was blown up across like 20 different TV screens during the little cooking session. She has a cookbook coming out. That was amazing to see it in William and Sonoma on the banner. I don't know if she has it up or whatever. I don't know if it's on her. Her current website isn't at all matching the logo that I came, like, she still has her old website up.
Okay.
But just to see that logo in these spaces And knowing that, like, my head has been on that, or I've created that, it's incredible.
I like to cry. So I definitely would have cried.
But like that's why I don't work with family, that type of clientele. It's just, you know, there's no follow through. So I work with people who have been in business for a while. At least, at minimum 2 years. But I like to start between 3 or 4 years. You've been in business, you know, you've made some mistakes. It is stealing. You recognize things are no longer working, or they were working at one time.
And they're not working no more.
Yeah, they're not working. So there's a problem. You need to figure it out. And so my whole thing is about transformation and elevation, and really getting people to a place to where they get that breakthrough with storytelling, strategy, branding. And if we do continue it on design, I don't do as much design anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really, my cutoff has been those three pillars.
Mm-hmm. So do you pass?
Strategy. Usually I will pass it on, but when you, at least when you're passing it on, it's like a weapon of mass destruction. You got the missile that's going to hit.
Wait, know? So do you pass it on, so you don't pass it to one of the other
designers?
Oh, okay. So yeah. The team that you work with on art, they don't also do outside, or they only work on...
You talking about ArcLight?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about like my personal...
No, I know. So I'm saying, so like, for example, let's say you have a customer where you figured out what to give them. You guys have worked on the branding.
ArcLight doesn't do anything with the branding.
Okay.
Yeah, this is all personal. Yeah. But yeah, so usually what we do, we tackle strategy, storytelling, and branding. I give you everything that you need to take to your designer, your copywriter, your web developer, your web designer, whatever, to get all these things right.
Okay. Okay. Well, I feel like we've given the people too much for their $0 and zero. No, I'm kidding, y'all. I strive to make an episode full of gems where you feel like you need to stop this episode and pull out your notepad or your notes on your iPhone, or I don't know what Android people write notes on. That's not my problem.
I just got on the iPhone.
And you love it.
And I want my Android back.
No, he don't. He just want an iPhone 8 with a bigger screen, but he still want an iPhone. Anyway. We've given you guys and ladies out there lots of gems on branding, marketing, how to figure out how to, you know, best amplify what it is you got going on to become a successful business. So I want to close the show out with one tip from the expert. What is one thing every new entrepreneur should have that if you don't have it, you need to go get it? Whether that be a tool or a product or service, whatever that may be, that you feel like every entrepreneur should have.
Hook up with, first I'll say this. Answer the question, and when you sell somebody, I do hair, I sell whatever, we make t-shirts. The next question somebody's mind is going to be, and what? Like, and that, what they're doing is they're searching for a reason to care. Like, why are you telling me this? Answer that question. Always be prepared to answer the and part.
Okay.
Now, if you don't know how to answer that, if you don't know how to navigate through that sea of strategy and putting the story together, then you need to go and get a brand strategist.
So you get one after you enter the
end? I want some people to try it out.
Try to do that legwork on your own?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And if you find yourself struggling, rather going off, getting a logo and all sort of stuff, get you a strategist that's going to be able to help.
Edwin.me, but go ahead.
because when you get these Facebook groups, YouTube podcasts, the information tends to be good, but they're so general. They're not specific to what you're doing, you know? You need things that are specific to what you're doing and what you're trying to do. And once you get that really tailored information, it clears out the noise and you have direct, like you have coordinates to put into a GPS to get you where you
need to go. Okay. I got it. So basically what he's saying is,
okay.
Right. So first answer the question of why people should care about your company. Then go get a brand strategist so they can tell you where exactly you need to take this business and what directions to get there. Because you know how people do. They'll tell you, oh, watch this video, and this video will give you very general information. Basically, they'll tell you, you should go to some state in America and then you'll find this answer, basically. And basically what he's saying is edwilliams.me will tell you exactly how to get to Atlanta. And then when you get to Atlanta, he will tell you exactly how to get to downtown Atlanta. And then when you get to downtown Atlanta, he'll tell you exactly how to get to the 12. And then once you get to the 12, he'll tell you exactly how to get to room 1102. Basically is what he's saying.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly it. Right.
So, you guys do that. Well, I've had a great time talking to you, Ed. And I hope that all the people out there had an amazing time getting all the gems. I hope y'all wrote all of it down because it's getting deleted. No, I'm kidding. It'll be here forever. So do you have any last words for the people?
So if you want
plug yourself.
Yeah, if you want to find me, you'll find me the most active on Twitter. And so my Twitter account is, it's Ed Williams. Literally, it is ITS Ed Williams. You also follow me on Instagram. That's where the IG stories, of course, hang out. It is Edward E. Williams Jr. on Instagram. You can contact me also at edwilliams.me. If you're interested in a strategy session.
What specific domain, y'all? Not a .com, not a .net, not a .org, not a .co, not a .123, not a .xyz. It's a .me. He lets y'all know this business is about me. I like that.
I ain't had no choice, though. All
the .com was gone?
Yeah, it was all gone.
Here I go, thinking you were being a brand strategist with your own brand.
But it worked out, though.
It did.
Good. It's good.
I like
good.
It.
Yeah.
Yep, there's no confusion here. No. I am Ed Williams. Ed Williams is me.
So there's that.
There you go.
So if you would like to get a strategy call, we can hop on for 45 minutes, $97.
That's right.
On Zoom. And we can hit that up. Just contact, reach out to me on any one of those channels. If you want to check out Arclight, it is literally Arclight Comics everywhere. ArcLight Comics. ArclightComics.com. Check all that out. And that's it.
Alrighty, well, thank you so much for being on the XL Tribe podcast, Ed. You're welcome. And until next time, peace out.